Well, I'm glad the Lord's coming, aren't you?
Amen.
Yes, sir. And this could be the night. What a blessing. Thank you for the message tonight, Preacher Jim.
Yeah.
Brother Jim is kind of like Brother Bobby Robinson. Brother Bobby Robinson, he'll be 86 years old this year, and he's still pastoring Gospelite Baptist Church in Walkertown. Oh, he's been out 60 years now. This has gone on 61 years. And he said, I'm going to pastor until I get 100, and then I'm going to resign and go full-time evangelist. Ain't that a blessing from God? I think I'll just preach tonight. How many of you got that King James Bible? Wave that Bible again. Amen. Brother Jim was right. He had one of the best Bible teachers and preachers in the world, Dr. Billy Canoy, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, North Carolina, Church Street Baptist Church, and also the college there. If you're physically able, I want you to stand tonight and turn to Hebrews, not Shebrews, but Hebrews. Hebrews, stand if you're able. If you're not, then just keep on sitting down. And Paul is talking about the believer's worship in the holiest. And the Bible said in Hebrews 10, verse 19, I'll read down through verse number 26. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated, that means dedicated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, amen, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. God's never broke a promise.
Amen, brother.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now here's where I'm going to preach from, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, that's encouraging one another, as the preacher's already talked about. And he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if you will read, and we read part of it, I had it read to us in Matthew 24, where Jesus is coming again. And we better be ready. In verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. My Father, thank you for the word of God that's already been preached tonight. Stirred our hearts. What a good message our dear brother brought to us. And I pray you'd continue, God, to bless him and give him many more years in the ministry. Bless his church where he pastors and give him many souls for the labor. I pray to God for Brother Donald tonight that you would continue, God, to bless him and his wife and the folk here at the Faith Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that you may bless them. And I pray, Lord, that they would be faithful to the things of Christ. And I pray you'd send folk in, Lord. And we love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. And help this preacher tonight as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject, faithfulness. Faithfulness. I never will forget, many years ago, I was preaching for a preacher friend down in Winston-Salem. And I preached Monday night through Wednesday night. And he got up on Sunday morning, him and his wife. And he said, we held hands and we knelt down on the couch and prayed, and he said to his wife, I want you to pray that God would speak to Brother Paul about preaching on faithfulness. And let's agree together that God would give him a message on faithfulness. And so God laid a message. I didn't know this until after I had preached and given the invitation. And so that day, God had already told me what to preach, and I preached about 45 minutes on being faithful to the house of the Lord. Isn't that a blessing from God? God knows exactly what we need. And every preacher that I preach for and every preacher that I know, they have a concern and a burden for people that are unfaithful to the house of the Lord. Every pastor knows what it is to have people that are unfaithful to the house of the Lord. We also know what it is to have people that are faithful to the house of the Lord. Now, we've got folk right here tonight that is faithful, more faithful than the clock on the wall, to the coming to the house of the Lord. And we may have some here tonight that is not faithful. You probably got some members of this church that should be here tonight, but they're not here tonight. Every time we have revival meet, we'll always have a few people that will come one or two nights, and we have one or two maybe that won't even show up. But thank God for those that do show up. Thank God they're there on Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Friday, whatever the length of the revival is. And so I want to preach a little while tonight on the subject of faithfulness. Now, I always commend my people for being faithful. I don't have to preach to them about being faithful because they are faithful. And you preachers have folk that the same way. But there's folk that we have to preach to that are unfaithful to the house of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something, my friend. God expects us to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Sometimes there's sickness and you're not able to be faithful to the house of God. But if you're able to go to Walmart, you're able to go to church. Amen. That's right. If you're able to go to the restaurant and sit there and eat and be there for about an hour and a half, you're able to go to church. Amen. Amen. And that's right. And there's one thing about it. Now, I've been saved for almost 47 years. We'll be the 28th day of this month. I've been saved for 47 years. And the time that I've missed going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and revival meeting night, you could count them on this hand and still have some left. Say amen. I praise God for health and I praise God for strength that the Lord has given me to go to the house of the Lord. And God honors that. Now let me give you the meaning to the word faithful, my friend. And faithfulness, it means reliable. It means reliable. It means available. And it also means the quality of state or being available. Oh yes, my friend. God wants us available and God wants us to go to the house of the Lord. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I love to go to church, don't you? I love it. I mean, the psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say I'm mad. He didn't say I'm sad. He didn't say I'm upset. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost expects us to be in the house of the Lord. I go to church because I want to go to church. Amen. Amen. How many of you know it's right to go to church? Raise your hand. How many know it's right to be faithful? Would you raise your hand? James said, James 4 and verse number 17, I quoted last night. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is S-I-N sin. And so when people lay out the house of God, when they don't have to lay out the house of God, they're not sick and they're not afflicted, and my friend, they're not working the second shift or the third shift, and they're not dead. God expects them to be in the house of God. Say amen. 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 You know that's right. God's good. Amen. Hallelujah. And so first of all, let me notice, listen, people in this day and time are wishy-washy, aren't they? They're wishy-washy when it comes to going to the house of the Lord. Now, the devil's got every excuse in his book, and more people read the devil's book than do the Lord's book. And the devil will tell you, you don't have to go to church. It's not necessary for you to go to church. If you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. And then he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, when you get saved, you get in the grace of God, amen, and you grow. Amen. You don't grow in the sainthood. You become a saint the very instant that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And Paul told that crowd that at Corinth, my friend, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he called them saints, but they sure were not. They weren't living like saints, were they? Amen. Praise God. When I got saved, you got saved, God put us and brought us out of the family of the devil and put us in the family of God, took us out of the darkness and placed us in his marvelous light. Isn't that good to know that? Amen. And made a saint out of us. Amen. Thank God for that. So wait just a minute now. Wait just a minute. We're living in a wishy-washy, uncertain day, aren't we? We should be known for, number one, dependability. Dependability. Did you know you and I that are saved by the grace of God? We are depending on the Lord. And did you know that's wonderful? That God said now that you are my children. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it's in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not working to be saved. I'm working because I am saved. I didn't care anything about the church until I got saved. I didn't care anything about praising God until I got saved. I didn't care anything about my faith working for the Lord before I got saved. But I'd whole lot rather be a servant now and working for the Lord than being a servant of the devil and working for the devil. Amen. No man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one, love the other, he'll despise the other. And look at Matthew chapter number six, and verse number 24. I'm going to get that just right. The devil ain't going to get one word of that. The Bible said no man can serve two masters. I don't care how young you are, how educated you are, how poor you are, how rich you are, doesn't make any difference, how popular or unpopular you are. You can't serve two masters, and I can't serve two masters. Somebody say amen. Right. Now, look what he said. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's talking about the world, and that's talking about, my friend, riches, and that's talking about money and riches. You can't have but one master, and that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. Thank God. I'm going to quote it again. I quoted one night this week. Matthew 6 and verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you read that entire chapter, chapter number 6, you'll find everything that you need for the flesh, everything that you need for the spirit is found in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad peace and joy and happiness and satisfaction, praise God, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never find peace, you'll never find joy, you'll never find happiness and satisfaction in anything or any person rather than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. I think you can do it. Amen. God is so good. I mean, dependability. I'm going to tell you, my friend, homes are built on dependability. Businesses are built on dependability. And schools are built on dependability. And nations are dependent on, dependability. Amen. Amen. Depending on the Lord. And churches operate on dependability. The pastor is dependent on you to be here. Now let me say to us pastors, listen to me. We are the man of God that God has placed in the house of the Lord. And so I quoted last night in 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And us pastors are to study and have a message on our heart that comes from God Almighty to feed and give our
spend more time in the Bible than we do on the internet. We got to spend more time in the Bible than we do, my friend, listening and looking at television. It means we got to spend more time on the Bible and in the Bible and study the Bible than we do in secular books, or than we do, my friend, reading the newspaper and studying the newspaper. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Woo!
Glory.
I told you last night I was born and raised in Stokes County, North Carolina. Daddy had a big farm, 111 acres on that farm. And we worked the farm. Mama and my sister sat at the house and they would cook all the morning. We'd get up in the daylight and go to the field and work till about 11:30. We had one of those great big old dinner bells. Y'all know what it is? And I'm going to tell you, even our mules and horses knew that it was dinner time. But I'll tell you, when Mama would ring that old big old bell and all those old mule's ears would perk up, they knew they was going to get some fresh water, they was going to get some dinner, but so did we perk up, because we knew we were going to get some cathead biscuits. Y'all know what that is?
Yeah.
A good homemade biscuit, pinto beans and mashed potatoes, fried chicken, ham. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And everything that goes with it. We knew that Mama was busy. My friend, preparing a good meal for us as we came out of the field. We were hot, we were tired, we were sweating, and we washed our heads and amen, and washed our face and got ready and sat down, my friend, and had a meal that would last us till about 5:30, and we come back for another one. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when I go to the house of God, I'm going to hear the man of God preach just like this man of God did. Open that King James Bible, thank God, and open up and give me something that'll help me on the journey for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo! You say you preach like that down our church? Why don't you come down see sometime? Praise God. Amen. He's good. Yes, sir, brother. Listen. The pastor is dependent upon you to be faithful. The pastor is dependent upon you to pray for him. The pastor is dependent upon you to pray for the church. The pastor is dependent upon you to give your tithes and offerings. The pastor is dependent upon you to go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And I know a lot of us get older and we can't go from door to door and we can't visit like we ought to, but we got a telephone.
Amen.
Everybody's got a telephone. Got one in the bathroom, and everybody's got about three bathrooms. Got one in the living room. Got one in the den. Got one on the front porch. Got one on the back porch. Are you listening? Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you, thank God. Hey, brother, I'm talking about we can get on that phone and call a loved one and say, I want you to come to revival. I'd call a friend and say, I want you to come to revival. We got some preachers over there that's going to preach a word of power without fear or favor of mankind. They're going to rear back and preach it. They're going to loosen up their necktie, roll up their sleeves, tighten up their belt, and preach what thus saith the Lord.
Hey.
And Brother Mace Jackson used to say, thank God I'm going to preach it to men, women, boys, and girls as they are. Amen.
Yes.
Did you know preaching will reach every one of us? I don't care how old we are.
Right.
Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What do you get when you remove the initial letter or the first letter off of the word preach? What do you get?
Reach.
Amen. It reaches, buddy. I'm going to tell you, you quote it tonight, you read it tonight in Romans 1:16. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's no longer to the Jew first. I'm glad the Jew's got to come just like the Gentile. And if the Gentile gets there before the Jew, I'm glad the Gentile gets saved. If the Jew gets there before the Gentile does, I'm glad the Jew can get saved. Isn't that amazing? You see, you quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word, right there means humanity and mankind. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I get preach a little bit. Amen, man. Ain't God good? Oh, yes, thank God. Hey, what do you get when you take the first letter off the word preach and you get reach, right? Well, what do you get when you take the initial letter or the next letter off the word reach? Each. What about that? Each one of us, hallelujah. God knows what we need as an individual. God knew what I needed tonight as an individual. God knew what you needed tonight. And I tell you, my friend, anytime you miss coming to the house of God, I don't care if you got 5, I don't care if you got 10, I don't care if you got 50 or 100 or 1,000. Every time you miss, you're going to miss something that God had for you, and you miss it, and you miss the blessing. If you don't want a blessing, would you just tell the Lord, dear Lord, I really don't want the blessing. Would you just let them fall on me? I'll take them. Say amen.
I believe you would too. Oh yes, my friend. Dependability. Did you know that God is depending on you and I that are saved by the grace of God? Did you know He is dependent on us to take the gospel across the street? Did you know He is dependent on us to take the gospel across the sea? I'm a little bit leery of a missionary that says that God has called him to go to a land across the ocean and across the sea to preach the word of God, and my friend, to plant a church and grow that church, and when they won't even go across the street to talk to their own neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a problem with that. Got a problem with that. Oh, yes. So we need to be faithful. That represents dependability. Dependability. Praise God. Number two, when I talk about faithfulness, I'm talking about dependability, and I'm talking about the characteristics of being faithful. Now wait just a minute. The characteristics of abiding works must certainly be faithfulness. Hallelujah. And you'll find in your Bible, the Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen. In Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death. So we're to be faithful because God is depending on us.
Yes.
And we are to be faithful until death.
Right.
Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Yeah.
I never will forget, we had a lady in our church. She loved God, but I mean, she wasn't ashamed of Jesus. She would tell folk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she had a stroke. And she was on up in her 70s, probably her 80s when she had that stroke. And wound up in a rest home. She could not talk. She just, that's all she could say. And she was fine. Somebody got her a cross and set it beside of her bed on the table, a cross about this high. Jesus wasn't on that cross. And by the way, he's not on the cross.
No.
He don't need to be on the cross.
That's right.
He's not in the tomb. He doesn't need to be in the tomb. Right. And he's not in the cradle. He doesn't need to be in the cradle. Where's he at? He's in the third heaven. That's God's abode. He's in my heart, and he's in your heart if you're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, let's say that one time tonight. Thank you. She could not talk, but every time somebody would come into her room, whether it was family or whether it was friends, she would do like this. You know what I'm just saying? He's not on the cross. He died on the cross. He suffered on the cross. Shed his blood on the cross that we might be saved by the grace of God. The third day he was resurrected again for our justification. Hey, he's not there. He's in heaven, but he's in my heart.
Amen.
And he wants to be in your heart. Woo! she started talking to me like that. She said, I was saved, but God pricked my heart because I knew I wasn't living where I want to live. And he said, I repented, got right with God. Say amen. Amen. He said, I had no joy. David had let sin rob him of his joy. And he said, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And then he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I'm going to tell you, it'll be hard to preach when you don't have the joy. It'll be hard to teach when you don't have the joy. It'll be hard to sing when you don't have the joy of the Lord. It'll be hard to witness when you don't have the joy of the Lord. It'll be hard to give when you don't have the joy of the Lord. And the devil knows he can't rob us of our salvation, but he knows he can get us. And you know, somebody said this today. I just found this out. I've been saved for 47 years. He said the devil can't get our joy unless we give it to him.
Amen.
Well, the thief comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I didn't come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse number 10. And that means victorious life. And there is victory in Jesus. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Woo! Ain't that good? Amen. Oh, yes, my friend.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sirree. I want to be dependable. I really do. I want to be dependable until death. And I may not die. I may not have to go by the grave. I mean, I could go out tonight, you know, to meet the Lord because, hey, man, the next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Right. Nothing has got to be fulfilled up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back in the clouds. Praise God for you and I, the shame of the grace of God. We're going out of here.
Yeah.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 16.
Yeah.
And the Bible said, listen, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. What comforting words, ladies and gentlemen. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We're going to have to give an account. Did you know that? We've got to give an account to God, ladies and gentlemen. Look in the book of, you and I that are saved by the grace of God. We're not going to have to give an account to God for our sins because they've been atoned for on the cross of Calvary. But we are not giving account to God at the judgment seat of Christ. We won't be at the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for our sins. We'll be at the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for our faithfulness, our stewardship. In Romans chapter number 14 and in verse number 9, the Bible said this. The Bible said, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He is talking about born again believers. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The dead that die lost, undone without God, they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account to God for their sins, and then they're going to be cast out into the lake of fire. Matter of fact, I'm coming back over here, but right now we're going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, and we're going to read verse number 11 and down through verse number 15 if you've got your Bibles. This is where the doomed, the dead, those that are lost and done without God, never have received Christ, the doom of the unbelieving dead, and the last judgment. Look, if you will, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. It says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, it says, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That word of God is not going to change. In Revelation 21, one person rate, the Bible said, but the fearful and unbelieving and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm telling you, my friend, a person that dies lost and dumb without the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to die physically and they're going to die spiritually, because the Bible said in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Before I got saved, I was dead in trespasses and in sins. You were dead in trespasses and in sins, but God quickened us by the Holy Ghost of God when we came to Him as a repentant sinner and called on the Lord and asked Him to have mercy upon us. I bet He gave us spiritual life. Amen. Spiritual eternal life.
Amen.
Now back to Romans chapter 14. I'm telling you, I'm preaching in a hurry. I'm preaching in a hurry. And if you'll just listen in a hurry, I'll get through in a hurry. Say amen. Look what he said. I didn't get it all. I didn't get it all. I want to go over there. He said in verse number, in Romans 14 and in verse number 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Oh, listen, brother. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We need to examine ourselves. We're so busy examining one another. We're so busy examining our neighbor, or this one, or that one, our friend, our loved one. We better be examining ourselves and make sure that we're saved, and make sure we're in the will of God, and make sure we're doing God's will, because He is coming again.
Amen.
He's coming again.
Yes,
I'm preaching on faithfulness tonight. Dependability. I've got some folk that I can depend on. Boy, ain't that a blessing. And I have tried my best to be faithful to our church. I tell you, brother, in the 41 years plus that I have been saved, I have not missed on Sunday of being in our pulpit. I think two Sundays is all that I have missed being in our pulpit. I was on a missionary journey one time. I helped an elderly preacher out in revival and went one time on Sunday. I don't do that anymore. Amen. And the time when there was snow on the ground, we would go there, and sometimes there would be nobody there but just me and my wife and our two sons when they were at home with us. And amen, my son played the piano and he sung and we would sing. Amen. And we just have church, all four of us right there. Dependability, brother.
Yes.
Dependability. Amen. Praise God. So let me give you something else. We got a few more minutes, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew you was right. Amen. So you find faithfulness to God brings down divine blessings. So that's three things concerning faithfulness. Dependability, and then faithful unto death, and then divine blessings. Woo! Brother James, that's talking about holy blessings. I believe that's talking about blessings for our flesh and blessings for our spirit. God does both of them. I was reading today, somebody said that the breath is the weakest thing that we have. But you can't be strong without it. You can't even live without God's breath. And some folks said, I had met it one time, said, I don't believe in God. Somebody, V.R. Lakin, it was, he was witness on the street, and he went down, and this man was standing leaned up against the light pole down there. He walked up and he said, sir, he said, my name's Dr. B.R. Lincoln. He said, I'd love to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask if you've ever been saved by the grace of God. He said, I don't even believe in God. Well, he said, well, it's good to meet you. I read about you in the Bible this morning. You read about me in the Bible this morning? I sure did. I read all about you in the Bible this morning. Well, what did it say about it? It said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Praise God. That's enough to make a backflip back. if I can shout.
Amen.
The foolish said in his heart, there is no God.
Yes.
Amen. Well, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, but that he was done anything made that was made. In John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. And then he said in verse number 14, he said, thy word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Woo! Isn't that a blessing from God, ladies and gentlemen? So, you can say, I don't believe there's a God. Well, you just remember God said the foolish in his heart doesn't matter. I said, let me tell you something. I was with this man one day, and I said, you said there's no God? He said, I'll quote that first scripture. That's found in Psalm 14, verse 1, isn't it? I believe it is. Look it up right quick, will you? I said, you don't believe there's God? I said, the Bible said the very breath, sir, that you're breathing is in the hand of God.
Amen.
And you may not believe there's a God, but you will one of these days. You may die not believing God, that there's God, but you will. The rich man died. He let his riches carry him into hell. He was worshiping his riches rather than worshiping God. And I said, I'll tell you one thing. You will, my friend, you will believe. If you die lost and done without God, you'll believe there's God.
Amen.
Well, little cup of water. You've been in Luke 16 too, haven't you? God bless you, brother. Amen. Oh, yes.
I want God's blessings, don't you? I want his blessings, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, another meaning to faithfulness is this: a church member in full communion and good standing with God. A church member in full communion and good standing with God. A loyal follower. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing to know that? Faithless means disloyal. It means not to be relied on. It means untrustworthy. And the Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse number 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You know what a broken tooth will do? Let me tell you. You know what a foot out of joint will do? They'll let you down every time you need it.
You're right.
They'll let you down every time you need it. And I want to tell you, unfaithful people, they let God down.
Mm-hmm.
They let the church down. They let the pastor down. They let the family down, down, down. And they let themselves down. Boy, I'm glad, praise God, for people that are faithful to the house of God. You don't know how, if you weren't here tonight, nobody here but me and my wife, she would probably say, where you going to stand, honey? Where you going to preach from tonight, honey? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Can you be depended upon? Have you made up your mind? I'll not turn my back on him now. Given me everything I have.
Amen.
He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now. Job didn't turn his back on me. Oh, I'm so glad to see you preaching like you preach. And you're 85 years old. All the time you was preaching, I said, glory to God. 45. That's all the time you preached. I said, glory to God. Look the way that man's preaching at 85, and I'm 70, and that's a whole lot of hope for me. Say amen right there. Praise God. Ain't that good? I said, ain't that good? I said, did you hear me? I said, that's good. God is good.
Amen.
I want his blessings. Hallelujah. Help yourself, sister.
Glory to God.
I don't know what you said. I couldn't hear too good, but anyway.
That.
Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh, Malachi. Oh, I know some folk, I believe, has cut that book out of the Bible. Malachi, I really do. Especially chapter number 3. I believe Brother James, they cut that out of their Bible. Use that pen knife and cut it out. They don't ever give a dime. They must have. Now look what the Bible says here, and I'll be through in just a minute. Every preacher says that at least a half a dozen times before they get through. God help us, Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, the question is asked. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now here, which saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Now, I may tomorrow night, I don't know for sure yet, preach to you on the failure to be faithful and what it means. I don't know for sure, I may preach that tomorrow night. God could change my mind, but what you miss by not being faithful in church, you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. I believe you'll like it if you're not even faithful to the house of God. Mm-hmm. So how many of you know somebody that could have been here tonight, but not here? Would you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 people here. You know somebody that could have been here tonight, but they weren't. They missed everything that the preacher preached. Mm-hmm. They missed everything that I preached.
Right.
They missed the singing tonight. They missed the fellowship tonight. They missed the presence of the Lord tonight.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't help them out. You know, us preachers, we got to be very careful about something. Let me, you can tell you what we got to be very careful about. Can I tell you, Brother James? I thought I could. If we're not careful, we will get the devil in us trying to get the devil out of somebody else.
Yeah.
Brother, if you ever never see it, Brother C.L. Rose. Did you ever know Brother C.L. Rose from South Carolina?
Yep.
Good man of God, buddy. Yep. Good preacher. He's in glory. I think his wife still may be there.
Yeah, he's preaching me 2 or 3 times.
But he said, I'll tell you, brother. He said, I pastored one church for 10 years. I pastored another church 5 years. And he said, I caught myself one time preaching faithfulness to the folk that wasn't even in church. He said, I was just beating them folk over the head, seemingly. And I was preaching to the folk that wasn't even in the church. He said, the Holy Ghost said, that's enough of that now about that crowd that's unfaithful. You just preach to that good crowd that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just you and her and your two, that's 4. Me and her and 2 more is 4. And we're going to preach it just like it's 400 here, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And thank God for us 4. And if we don't have no more,
Amen.
We got 4. Ain't that a blessing from God?
16.
Okay, that's all I'm going to preach. Tom, preach. I don't quit. I could preach 30 more minutes easy, but not going to. Okay, do you know what to preach? What I preach on? Faithfulness. I preach on Piazza's coming. I preach on faithfulness, and it involves what? Dependability. Say amen. Faithfulness involves dependability. Number 2. Faith involves being faithful until death, right?
Yeah.
And faithfulness involves divine blessings upon us.
Amen.
Hallelujah, praise God. Divine blessings upon you and I that are saved by the grace of God. God is good to me.
thankful that he's good to me.
Amen.
Let me say a little bit. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Another blessing from God.
Can I say something?
You go right ahead, sister. Yes, ma'am.
I'm back to go to sleep, but that's going to save me.
Hey.
I'm not going to sing now.
No, don't sing.
Yeah,
no.
Go right here.
No, I didn't want to take the water stone. And I got a few friends in up to my friends.
Hey.
And my hubby.
Yeah.
I could get over that hill.
That's right. Amen.
Because he's been a big part to get me saved.
Boy, isn't that good?
Amen. And I enjoyed it.
Amen. God bless
you. Don't pray for me.
Thank you very much. Amen. Preacher friend of mine, did you ever know Brother Wayne Bucket? Yeah, you knew Brother Bucket.
Yeah.
He was white died 7 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, he was 84. He's 84 now. And so he got married again about a year ago. He was 80, I think, 84 years old. And he said, never would I ever have dreamed that I would have got married again. But he said, while he was preaching many years ago, this woman, the second lady that he married, her husband died. And Rayton's husband died and been dead for probably 3 or 4 years. And the very lady that he married the second time, he led her to the Lord in the revival meeting that he was preaching.
Amen. What about that? Now, I tell you, sister, that sounds like you would walk down to Danville and back and say, God is so good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God's good. Hey, let's stand our feet right now. I'm going to give an invitation.
How many, if you're physically able, let's stand. And how many would say, preacher, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. Would you raise your hand? You know that you're saved. Raise it real high. Thank you very much. That's everybody in this building. How many say, preacher, I'm in the building tonight. God spoke to my heart about being faithful. There's times that I could have been faithful, but I'm not faithful. And I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Is there one all over the building? Okay, God bless you. That's one hand. If that's your only one that God spoke to. Well, now all of you raised your hand. 5 of you raised your hand a few minutes ago. How many of you know somebody that is unfaithful? You raise your hand again if you know somebody that is unfaithful. Okay, how many of you in this building, I believe I can count the ones that are, you know that you are as faithful as you possibly can be. Would you raise your hand? You're faithful, okay? I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to come to the altar tonight and thank the Lord that he has given you health and strength to be faithful to God's house. And then I want you to pray for those that you know that is not faithful, and pray that God would speak to their heart and they would get in the house of God like they should be. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. She's going to play through. She's a good singer, but her throat's not allowing her to sing. Amen, Brother Buddy. He's making his way. Here comes everyone of you that raised your hand. Just do it tonight.